Good morning. It's good to see everyone. Time to get your teaching outline out. We're in a series about getting unstuck. And today's a really important topic, getting unstuck in our friendships. There's a saying, tell a lot about a person by the vehicle they drive. I got to thinking about that. I don't know how true that is. I was driving a Acura TL. Now I'm driving a 1991 Ford Explorer. I don't know what that says about me. My wife went from a MDX to a Honda van. But for some people, I think it does say a lot about who they are. But I was, about 6 years ago or so, I was telling you the story about how when I was building my house and one evening it got dark and I was ready to leave and I got stuck in my van, a 96 Nissan van that I was using basically as a pickup truck. Anyway, it just so happens that my neighbor Bill came by walking his greyhound dogs, and he offered to go get his four-wheel drive vehicle and pull me out. So one thing I learned from that was there's no substitute for a good friend when you're stuck, right? It's always good to have a friend. The Scripture describes it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two people are better off than one. I was better off with Bill than I was by myself, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls or gets stuck, right, the other one can reach out and help. Someone who falls alone is in real trouble. If he hadn't come along, I don't know what I would have done, right? So God has wired us up for friendships, for relationships. We are a relational people. And when those relationships are not present or they're not handled in a God-honoring way, we get stuck. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, when I'm stuck in my friendships, I experience some negative emotions. The number one I experience is what I would call loneliness. Loneliness. You feel no one's there for you. The funny thing about loneliness is, do you have to be alone to feel lonely? Do you? Now, you can feel lonely in a crowded room, can't you? And just because you have a feeling doesn't mean the feeling is justified, does it? So you may have people supporting you, but you still feel lonely. But when you're stuck in your relationships, that's one of the negative emotions you have. Another one is frustration. Frustration. When you feel like people aren't there for you, it's very frustrating, isn't it? And I find also when I've discovered that I have not been there for somebody else, that's also frustrating for me. So frustration is an indication that you're stuck in your relationships. And the third thing is pretty obvious, I guess, disconnection. That you're disengaged, you feel distance from others. And, of course, we're going to also talk about a relationship with God, and so we can feel disconnected from God. Our relationships affect every other area of our lives. I often say when our relationships are good, life is good. When our relationships are not good, life's not good. So this is an important topic. These three emotions are very painful, debilitating, and they lead to what I call wandering priorities. Another story in the Old Testament about Jacob and Esau, when Esau came in from hunting and he was really hungry, and Jacob was a pretty conniving guy, and he says, well, I'll feed you this bowl of stew for your birthright. Now, if you ever read that story, it's just kind of, is this real? Why would anybody do this? I don't know the value of the birthright, but let's just guess. Abraham was wealthy, so say $1 million. All right, I'll give you this stew for $1 million. And he said, okay. How mind-boggling is that? Why would anybody do that? Well, it's because he had a wandering priority. His present hunger was of more value to him than the $1 million he would inherit, for example. So, our emotions and our with our relationships are a critical issue if we're going to be all God wants us to be. So, what does the Bible have to say about friendships? Well, let's pray before we jump in here. Thank you, God, that you have created us with relationships, with friendships. that it is better, two are better than one. There are complications to that, and we'll try and discuss some of those this morning. I thank you, God, there's a lot in the Bible to instruct us and help us in this area. Teach us what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do the ABCDs of getting unstuck in your friendship. So A stands for abandon unhealthy friendships. Abandon unhealthy friendships. Most of this morning we're going to talk about the positive, but before we get there, we need to talk about the negative or unhealthy relationships. Sometimes when you and I are stuck in our friendships, it's because we have an unhealthy relationship. Sometimes I call these toxic relationships. They are more harmful than good. Does the time you spend with somebody affect how you are or what you become? Does it? Yeah, absolutely. If you hang around with losers, what do you become? And if you hang around with winners, what do you become? If you hang around with negative people, what do you become? If you hang around positive people, what do you become? So it's really important who we hang out with, isn't it? Who we consider our friends. The Bible says, don't be deluded. You will be affected by the people you hang out with. And the scripture references in 1 Corinthians. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. What are these such things? Well, that it doesn't matter. Because reality is what? Bad company corrupts good character. So if you hang around, quote-unquote, bad people, it's going to have a negative influence or impact on you. That is truth, folks. Our problem as believers is that sometimes we hang in there hoping to minister to that person. And, you know, that's an issue, but you have to be very careful, especially if you consider them friends. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes the best thing that you can do is to end that relationship. Now, I'm not talking about family. We're talking about friendships here. All right? Family is the topic for 2 weeks from now. Okay? Relationships you have choices about. You can't choose your parents or your siblings. You've got to pick your spouse once upon a time. Once you're married, that's it, right? That's the way it goes. So those you don't have choice about. These are optional relationships. These are what we call friendships. So I'm going to challenge you this morning to take an inventory of your friendships. All right? Honest assessment. I'm going to help you here with three categories. Think about the friends that you do have. I hope this will be helpful. Number one, I set your casual friendships. Are they helpful? All right? So think about a friend you have and say, yeah, that person is helpful to me. Now, the way I evaluate that is, are they helping me in my walk with the Lord? Are they helping me mature in my Christian faith? Are they helping me to be more like Jesus? When I hang out with these people, I'm more like Jesus or this person than if I don't. If that's the honest assessment of that relationship, then increase association. Spend more time with that person. That is beneficial, right? They are what a friend should be. They help to draw you closer to the Lord. They help to motivate you in your spiritual life. So look for ways to spend more time with those type of people. Secondly, people I would call that are not helpful. They don't do those things. They may not be negative relationships. They might be more like neutral relationships. They don't help me draw closer to the Lord. They don't really draw me away from the Lord. Often these are older friendships, people back from high school. My wife still has associations for people from high school. And Aaron was telling me, I think it was Jeff, you and Krista, you've known each other since first grade or something. And a couple others since sixth grade. I don't know anybody from high school, elementary, college, anything anymore. I'm a little older than you folks, but I don't know that's the reason. But these relationships, you've just had them for a long time. Maybe at one time they were helpful relationships. Maybe now they're kind of in the not helpful category. You need to evaluate that. You don't need to stop talking to them. You don't need to stop associating with them. But I would say limit your association with them. Right? Limit it. Don't pour a lot of time into relationships that aren't beneficial to you. Limit those associations. Now, the third category is obviously going to be the toughest category. And this is destructive friendships or relationships. This is a relationship that is tearing you down. This is a relationship that you're not more like Jesus when you spend time with this person. You're not growing in your faith. You're not maturing. You're not being motivated to do the things you should. You feel worse about yourself and possibly about God. And unfortunately, the only solution to this problem is disassociation. Some friendships need to end. You don't need to be mean. You don't need to make it dramatic. You need to just explain to this person, I'm sorry. When I spend time with you, it drags me down. It makes me feel bad, whatever. I know the problem here is, again, we try and minister to these folks. But in this case, I would say pray that God would bring somebody else into their life to minister to them that they can't or don't pull down. Now, let me give you a warning. This is tough. This is not easy, especially depending on how long they've been a friend. But the truth is, this is sometimes why we're stuck in our friendships. So I put a verse on your outline. It's really important. It says this: you will know the truth. So we're asking you to analyze, evaluate your relationships, know the truth about them. Okay? It's easy to deceive ourselves about our friendships. And when you know the truth will do what? Set you free. Get you unstuck. Right? That's what set you free means. So I'd like you to decide today to do this work. This is going to be work. To take the time to analyze your relationships. In fact, you can mark it on your decision card if you want. Yes, I'm committing myself to evaluating my friendships. And then consequently make these changes that'll help you move forward in your relationships and your friendships. Because that's the goal, right? Is it easy to miss the impact other people have on you? It is. In fact, if you've got a spouse or someone that can say, hey, you're not as nice when you spend time with this person or whatever. And you may not even realize it. So maybe you even need to have someone else help you in your assessment. So, abandon unhealthy relationships and increase healthy ones. That leads us to point number two. B stands for be a good friend first. Be a good friend first. I know it's probably better English, Bethany, to say first be a good friend, but I needed a B. All right? So. And this is really important. The painful truth is sometimes we're stuck because we are not very good friends. All right? Let's just admit it. And it's hard to attract healthy, godly friendships if we are not good friends. But the good news is this. There's no skill about being a good friend that you and I cannot learn. There is no friendly gene, all right, that some people get and some people don't get. All right? So we all have the capabilities of being good friends. We can learn that. That's a good thing, right? That's good news. I'm thankful for that. But a good source of insight into friendship comes from the book of Proverbs. So I put three of them on your outline. We could have put a dozen, but we'll just look at three quickly about how to be a good friend. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. So, do you give good advice? All right? Do people come to you seeking advice, and you give them advice, and it turns out it is helpful to them? That is being a good friend. If you give them bad advice, the scripture doesn't just say it's bad advice, they say it's wicked to give bad advice. So that's one evaluation you can make of how good a friend you are. Are you giving them good advice? Are you giving them godly advice? Or are you just giving them some kind of idea, pop psychology idea, or something comes just pops in your head? So you're directing them to godly solutions. Second verse is Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal. Is loyalty important? quality in a good friend? Absolutely. One of the most important, I think. And a brother is born to help in time of need. What does that mean? It means they're there for you, right? They've got your back. They're not going to turn on you. They are loyal. Very important quality. And this third one is probably the most difficult skill, if you will, and probably the most important to strong, healthy friendships. Love proper prospers when a fault is what? Underline that word. Forgiven. For any sustained relationship, healthy relationship, a key ingredient is forgiveness, because two sinful people are reacting, and forgiveness is essential. But dwelling on it, whatever caused the friction, separates close friends. You know anybody, you know some folks that have probably been friends for 20 years, maybe really good friends, and all of a sudden something happens, they have an argument about something, and they don't talk to each other for the next 20 years? It's crazy. Well, what's happened? Well, whatever that event happened, there was lack of forgiveness, inability to forgive, and the friendship is ended. So, going to show you the trailer to the grace card that talks about the importance of forgiveness and friendship.
That car was speeding.
Lord, please don't let me kill my partner.
Why don't you, man? Just put us both out of our misery.
You got in trouble again, didn't you?
We'll talk about this.
No, we'll talk about it now.
Blake.
Something going on at home?
Don't go preacher on me, man.
I'm not going preacher. I'm your friend.
I am alone. Been alone since I buried my first boy. Doesn't matter anymore.
I feel like I'm failing in what I was put on this earth to do. I want to make a difference, like you did.
You can never underestimate the power of grace.
Miss McDonald.
I'm sick about the man's family. I was called to minister to people. That's what Mac's doing in my life, Deborah. Showing me what my heart really is. So
you thought you just answer me this, Sam. What is there to believe in, man?
You know we in this together, Mac.
You do, so we think that you're good.
I promise to pray for you every day. Ask your forgiveness. Grant you the same. Be your friend always. That is the grace card.
Written Simon starts with forgiveness. That's the only thing that makes a difference.
I'm so sorry. Please tell me you forgive me.
It's not justice we need. It's grace.
Okay, let me see if I get it right. He said, I promise to pray for you every day, offer you forgiveness, ask you for forgiveness, offer you the same, and be your friend forever. Forgiveness is a critical, essential ingredient to friendship. Good friends have short accounts. They don't bring up the past. They help you move forward. So, abandon unhealthy relationships. Be a good friend first. C stands for connect with new Christian friends. So it's essential that we connect with the right type of person, right? And Proverbs, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We need to connect with people that help us connect with Jesus. That's the way I would describe that. Need friends that sharpen us, motivate us, make us more effective, more efficient. Is that the type of friendships you are seeking? Hopefully it is. They make you more like Christ. As a pastor, one of the frustrating things for me is to see people come to Christ, start attending church, but then don't get connected. And almost always, 90% of the time, what happens is, eventually they fall away. They drift away. And they never see their full potential. God has something better for them, but they miss this key ingredient of friendship. So I put on your outline this statement: God's antidote to loneliness is the church. Fellow believers, is church just about connecting with God? That's a fallacy. No, it's just as much about connecting with other people as it is with God. We need each other. Scripture says that over and over and over. So look around, and this room is full of people, hopefully trying to serve God and be the best, you know, Christ follower they can. And it's always easier and better and more fun to do it together than alone. I stopped by my neighbor's yesterday, and he was starting to build a roof over his new garage. And he was doing it by himself. And he has plywood to put on. And I said, well, let me know. I'll help you. He said, well, I can do it myself. And I said, no, let me help you. It's more fun to do it with someone else. Well, that's true of the Christian walk. And so essentially, you and I need friendships to do it together. You cannot find Lone Ranger Christians in the Bible. It's just not there. Hebrews 10 describes it this way. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together. There's opposites, as some people do. But encourage one another. You can't encourage someone if you're not connected to them, can you? Especially now the day of his return is drawing near. Look at the beginning here. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. Spends time and energy thinking of ways to do that. And it involves what? Acts of love and good works. So we need to think of ways to motivate people to basically serve, right? Everybody should be serving somewhere. Serving here at the church, serving some ministry outside the church. Everybody should be serving somewhere. And that's the way you connect, through serving. We talk about community groups. That's another way you connect. We talk about missions trips. You know, I've gone on two mission trips the last 2 years with about half a dozen guys both times. I got to know those guys better in those 3 days than I had for years before that or years since. You know, we spend almost 24 hours. Some of us slept at the same facilities. We ate together. We worked together. We connected. We encouraged one another. So again, this is some decision that I'm encouraging you all to make this morning, is to decide to do this, to find ways to help motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and get involved. Make that decision today to connect with people. This is a vital part of being a believer. Don't be deceived that you can just kind of do your own thing out there. This is important, so don't miss it. Bible talks a lot about friendship. We don't have much more time to talk about this morning. But you're never going to get unstuck in life, and certainly in your friendships, until you get this last thing right, your primary relationship. So point number four, the D stands for devote myself to my primary friendship. You know, we just had Easter. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate it every Sunday, actually. What is the result of Jesus conquering death, providing us salvation? Well, the result of that is that God offers us his friendship. Almighty, holy God offers you and I friendship. Again, I can't really tell you or explain to you what that means. It's beyond my comprehension. It's a powerful truth that God wants to be our friend. Scripture talks about it in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. So now, what is the now? Well, now that Christ is resurrected and salvation is provided, and we can do what? We can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I try to think of some way to try and explain how awesome this is. So this is the best. It's not great, but let me just tell you what I came up with. I thought I'd try to think of some Christian celebrity, so I came up with Tim Tebow. So if Tim Tebow calls you up on the phone and says, I want to hang out with you, I want to be your friend. Now you can pick somebody else, whoever it is. That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you be pretty excited about that? Now, I'm not talking about on Facebook saying you're going to be one of his 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 friends. That's not friendship, okay? We're talking about actually spending time with you. That would be pretty exciting. But folks, that can't compare to Almighty God saying, hey, I want to be your friend. I want to be there for you. I want to be loyal to you. I'm going to forgive you. Those qualities of a friend. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are this morning, I want you to focus on that word, devote. Devote yourself to this relationship. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to move forward? Is he your primary friendship? Our definition of unstuck is this: moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. I'm willing to make that relationship my priority. Or are you putting other things first? Other people maybe first? Anything holding you back from making Jesus your primary friendship or relationship? I wrote down a sample prayer. God, I'm tired of holding back. Every corner of my heart is yours. You don't have to pray those words, but pray something like that. So then you make time with God a priority. I've been working really hard on our marriage lately, and I've been trying to make time for my wife a priority. And she nodded her head at the first service, and she said, I've been doing that. Okay? So you make time with those primary relationships a priority. It'll change your life, certainly with God, even with with your spouse and other people too. Of course, the truth is you're never going to get unstuck in life without this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to end with Romans chapter 12 that talks about it. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, devote them, because of all he's done for you. He's your best friend. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't do what other people are doing. Do this. Other people are not doing this. This is what you and I need to be doing. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you. You'll learn God's will for your whole life. You'll learn God's will for your relationships, etc., which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So what does God want you to do with your friendships? Do you know God's will for your life? Don't copy what everyone else is doing. Figure out and commit yourself to your primary relationship, that with Jesus Christ. You and I are, if you're a believer, friends of God. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you, beyond my comprehension why, but you would desire to be my friend. God, I know that involves first and foremost forgiveness. And that's the only way we can have a relationship. You have forgiven me because of what Christ has done. And God, I would pray that each of us would do the hard work, take time to evaluate our relationships, and maybe even get input from a spouse or someone close to us and say, yeah, that's someone you should be spending more time with, or maybe that's someone you shouldn't be spending more time with, and or maybe that's a person you should not be spending time with at all. And God, help us to draw that line between negative relationships and ministering to people in need. Because it is a truth that bad company will corrupt us. And that's certainly not our desire. And God, we certainly want to pray for anyone here, earnest prayer, that does not have a relationship with you, that's stuck in all of life. God, I thank you that your desire is to be their friend. But you're waiting on them. Say, yes, I want to be your friend, God. You've provided everything I need to enter into that relationship, but I must decide, devote myself to you. He'll forgive you. He'll enter into this relationship. He will be your best friend. And it'll impact all of your life, all your other relationships, give you meaning and purpose. And you get to spend eternity in glory with him. God, I thank you. This friendship thing is not always easy, but you give us a lot of instruction on, first and foremost, being a good friend to others. God, help us do that by your grace and by your power. In Jesus' name, amen.